Ben Opie is here, and before we talk about one of two instruments he's brought with us today, let's take a listen to it together. It is called the theremin. I like it. We were out in the meadow with what? That's how Danny Boy might sound the day after St. Patrick's Day.
A little bit. I don't know. I just came up with that, and I don't know. I need something simple to play.
So I don't know if you've ever seen a theremin. I understand it a little bit. Basically, there's two metal pieces that make an electric field.
Well, here's what's happening. First of all, it's a wooden box. That's about this particular model is a wooden box that's about 14 inches by about 4 inches. There's two metal rods coming out of it. On the right side is a rod that points vertically, and on the left side there's a loop that's horizontal. The right side, so the way it works is that there's a high-frequency, low-intensity electromagnetic field around each antenna. And when you put your hand in the field, you are acting as a conductor of that magnetism. And the more you put your hand into the field, the more you are absorbing it because you're grounded by the rest of your body. Now, that's about as close as I can come to explaining it, because beyond that point, I don't really understand it.
Does it matter what you're standing on, the surface you're standing on? I never thought about that.
I suppose it would depend on whether you had bare feet or soles with rubber, because the more you are absorbing that as a ground, the more it can make a difference to the field. So when you play the theremin, the vertical side on the right controls the pitch. So the closer you bring your hand, the higher the pitch goes. So I can play about the whole range here of this particular model.
Wow. What happens if you go beyond it? I guess it's just the reverse, maybe?
You just have to think of, okay, so imagine a rod just pointing up, mm-hmm. and there's basically a circle around it. So you want to think in terms of it's entirely distance based on a horizontal plane.
Okay, so it's ambidextrous. You could approach it, right?
You do have to be ambidextrous, because the left side controls the volume. And the way that this and most models work is that you pull your hand away to increase the volume.
Wow.
So the amazing thing about the instrument, and the one that really fascinates people, is that you play it by not touching it.
Yes, and that's it may be hard for you to visualize right now, but basically Ben is
waving my hands around in the air.
Yeah, I was going to say he's hacking the air.
I like that description.
Yeah, there's one rod. It almost looks like an old school car antenna just sticking straight up. You play Name That Tune. That sounded like school days a little bit.
A little bit. It's difficult to play any instrument well, but the theremin is a particularly, is it pronounced quixotic or quixotic task, because you never actually come into contact with the instrument when you are playing it. So you don't have even that tactile sensation like when you play a violin or a cello. It's totally in the air. So there are controls on it. For example, there's a pitch control, but it doesn't really change the range of pitch. All it does is make the field around it wider or smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this about as wide as I can get this instrument, which means that I can stand away from it and it's not making any sound. If I make it too narrow or too wide, it'll just never stop playing.
I can't see very well, but do you have foot pedals on it as well?
I do in this case, because the theremin, for as much as I love it, and I find it to be interesting. It also has some real limitations. So, for example, it can only play one note at a time. It's got some range of sound, so this is the more mellow side of it. I can make it sound brighter and sort of more nasally. And let's adjust this a little bit. That's kind of the...
I'd like to apologize if your dog is freaking out right now. No.
I tend to favor the more mellow version of it.
Yeah, that's nice.
But I will sometimes run it through some pedal effects because it just has a standard quarter-inch plug out like you would find out of a guitar or a keyboard, and therefore I can run it into any sort of effect. So in this particular case, I have it running through what's known as a ring modulator.
This is Bana Opie, by the way, who you might know as an amazing sax player, which he is, or music teacher, which he also is, other reed instruments, and the theremin.
So I can get that sort of effect, or I can even make it more like a tremolo. Sorry for getting away from the mic there.
Oh, you're fine. Ooh.
Or I can make it sound more alien. So for me, when I usually play it, I can kind of hack out a little bit of a melody like I did before. It's quite difficult. Whoops.
Yeah, you're playing air, and you don't have any benchmarks or...
The standard technique for theremin, which I do a little bit, even though I'm not that studied a theremin player. Like, if you want to call me a saxophonist, I'm okay with that. If you call me a thereminist, I'll say, no, I'm just a guy who has a theremin.
But you've been playing for a long time.
I have had it for a long time, but for me it's more about, like, if I want to just put a little motion of something into some music somewhere, that's really what it serves as purpose. But the standard technique that you'll see most thereminists, and there are real thereminists, they will usually put their forefinger against their thumb and then open and close their fingers or wrist or elbow positions, and that's how they achieve different intervals. So I've got my forefinger against my thumb, and I'm thinking...
Wow, you're completing the instrument.
Right. That's as close to a tactile surface as you have. So you kind of anchor yourself with your own digit, with your own thumb, and then start to develop intervals from that starting position. And I don't know of a thereminist who doesn't have to have the pitch. Another thing. I'll mention that in a moment. But every thereminist I've seen, they have that pitch antenna in their field of vision, so they can gauge where their hand is with respect to the antenna, and they can more accurately land their intervals.
If you talk with your hands, you might hit the field.
Yeah. I have played theremin in a couple of different bands I've been in, and inevitably somebody comes up and asks about it, and they'll stand next to the instrument, and they'll say, "How do you play it?" And I'll basically say, well, you're playing it right now just by being right next to it.
Yeah, they go to take a look at it. They put their head right in there.
Right, right. So, you know, I could put my head in the field.
How did you come by the theremin to begin with?
Well, really, I mean, I was certainly aware of it for many years, but... there was a documentary that came out around 1995 or 6, Theremin, An Electronic Odyssey, which was a documentary about the inventor of the theremin, who, oh, it's a long and strange story.
But do you remember his name or her
Leon
name?
Leon Theremin.
Oh, it was.
I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear.
No, I never really thought about it.
And it had to do with the fact that he effectively defected to the U.S. and then was brought back to the Soviet Union and was hidden away in the Soviet Union for decades. And so he was taken back there in the 30s, and nobody from the West had seen him until about 1990. And the movie has to do with him coming back to the United States for the first time after perestroika happens and being reunited with the grand dame of the theremin, who was his primary sort of benefactor, a woman named Clara Rockmore. And it's a fascinating movie. And I had won an award around that time, and I had a little bit of money. And my wife said, well, why don't you just buy a theremin? And so I've had this since about 96 or 97. And there are actually different levels of theremin. You can buy lesser or greater quality. And this is about in the middle. This is kind of a pickup truck of theremins. You know?
Yeah, it's a nice – it's actually attractive, and it looks like it's really well made.
It has a certain gracefulness. It's very sleek and efficient.
I should take a picture so I can put it up on Facebook.
Chad was taking some shots earlier too.
Because it is kind of neat. So is the theremin included in scores or in written music? I would imagine in soundtracks it must be.
Well, that's what it's most closely associated with. And I'll mention the very reason that I'm here today, because a week from Sunday, that is May 20th, I'll be appearing at the Carnegie Science Center. They're going to have a showing of The Day the Earth Stood Still, the film from the 1950s, starring Michael Rennie. And there's a soundtrack by Bernard Herrmann that includes two theremins. So if we associate the instrument with soundtracks, it's usually that film. And before the film shows, I'll be talking about the instrument and demonstrating it. And I think the Carnegie Library will bring their theremin, which is usually on the floor of the music department of the main branch of the library, and people will have the opportunity to play it themselves.
Very cool. That should be fun. Now, that's on the 20th, right?
That's on the 20th.
On May 20th at 3 o'clock at Carnegie Science Center. And there's some other theremin things going on this month, I seem to remember.
Well, this last Thursday, one of the great thereminists that I know, a woman named Pamelia Stickney, played at the Glitterbox. And I can kind of hammer out a tune the way that somebody learns a fiddle and can hammer out a fiddle. She really can play the instrument, and she intends to come back to Pittsburgh in September. So, I hope to hear her again then. So between being here now and next Sunday and this past week, we've had a few theremin events.
That's kind of nice.
It is.
More theremin.
I approve.
Yes, all theremin all the time. And you can build a theremin. There are a lot of kits, and some I imagine are great instruments, and some are probably marginal but demonstrate
this
the
in
practices.
Fact was a kit.
Was it really? It's
yeah,
beautiful.
I can't say I put any of the electronics together. I just had to solder and assemble the whole thing, but it can be bought pre-assembled as well.
Yeah, and there's some you can base on an Arduino or another mm-hmm. microcomputer board. Now, you brought something else with you.
Oh, I thought since I had this, the theremin is such a unique instrument, but there continues to be people who create intriguing little audio and instrument devices. So I brought something known as the Thingamagoop, which is based out of a company from Austin, Texas called Bleep Labs, and it looks like a little robot with a one eye and an antenna coming out of it, but it plays
So you're controlling that with knobs and buttons.
There are different controls, and in this particular case, some of the pitch control, is not like space-based and electromagnetic like the theremin. It's a light sensor. It's a light resistor.
Oh, very cool. Oh, so there's a light bulb on a gooseneck. First of all, mm-hmm. this is about the size of a single gang electrical box.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, now that I look at it. So in addition to some buttons and embedded knobs, there's this gooseneck. Oh, there's the sensor. Oh, wow.
And it's cute.
This is the thing you might want to buy your son or daughter, but you would want to include headphones or a headphone amp.
Yeah, now I'm running it through an amp, but I'm taking the cable out, and
oh,
it just runs out of its own little speaker, so yeah. you can play it without disturbing the whole house.
That's not so bad. can I see it?
Of course you may.
Is it okay to?
Yeah. What you do is on the left side there mm-hmm. is the volume and on switch.
Okay, so I see.
And the white, yeah, the white button actually is a mute. This is one of those moments when you wish you had a little video feed.
I'm thinking of all sorts of public radio applications now, which would be something like, pledge now, and we'll stop this.
Nikki definitely approves of that. Oh, you know, if you need me to come back with that when you're really trying to raise money.
This is really fun. Mute. Stay muted. How's it powered? There must be a little
there's
battery.
There's a 9-volt battery in it.
Okay. Wow. What? And you can, what I like, too, is atop the, you know, if you picture this as a single gang electrical box, there's a little plexiglass or plastic face on it, so you can see the guts of it.
You can, and it has a light that reacts with the pitch.
Very cool. Oh, I like this switch, analog or digital. So this is analog mode.
The digital mode tends to come out more like notes, and the analog mode tends to come out more sounding like a theremin.
This is really cool.
And I don't really, especially this one, you can't even really intentionally play a melody on it, so it becomes not about playing a tune, which you can do on the theremin with some challenge. It just becomes about putting sound into the room and putting a little action in there. And it's like, oh, I need a little something extra.
Wouldn't it be nice if grocery store price scanners made use of a theremin? I'm thinking it wouldn't be nice. You'd scan your groceries
and go woo
constantly.
Theremin, Leon Theremin, one of his early inventions, once he discovered the principle of this instrument, he made a silent alarm out of it. So it basically meant you walked into the field and you would trip the alarm, and it worked very effectively.
I'll bet. But it was silent.
It was silent. Well, it was whoever walked into it didn't know it, but it would set something off elsewhere.
That makes good sense.
It does.
Actually. When did he live?
I don't recall when he was born. It must have been just before. It must have been 1890s, because he discovered the principle of the theremin around 1917.
It just occurred to me I could look that up, couldn't I? 1896.
Yes.
And he lived. Wow. He lived to be almost 100. He died in 1935.
Right, so the film is of him in his 90s coming back to the United States.
Wow. Jim in Crafton Heights just mentioned that Forbidden Planet features the theremin, a movie called Forbidden Planet.
I'm afraid he's not right about that.
Oh.
those were all invented electronics by a pair of people named Lewis and B.B. Barron. So they would hack together electronics and run a circuit through it until it made sound, and then they would just run it until it burned out. However, A film that does have a theremin in the soundtrack is Alfred Hitchcock's Spellbound.
Really?
With a score by Miklos Rosa, and that has a theremin. Whenever Gregory Peck sees the two lines going down, yeah. You hear the theremin.
Yeah. Gosh.
If you can't tell, I get a little nerdy about this stuff.
No, I'm sure Jim appreciates that too, knowing.
No, I don't want to be the guy who just corrects everybody all the time.
No. Well, theremin, imagine a theremin category on Jeopardy, and you could answer all these questions.
I'd at least get to the $800 question.
Well, what an interesting instrument, and it's probably very therapeutic to play it. It causes you to move around a little bit.
Oh, every once in a while, I like to just pull it out and, you know, I have it unplugged at the moment, but just put a little sound into the...
Wow.
It definitely forces you to be active with it.
Yeah.
And it's extremely responsive. Everything you do.
It's incredible. Now, you can hear the theremin in the movie coming up May 20th, the day the Earth stood still, which is going to be at Carnegie Science Center, May 20th at 3 o'clock. And will you be playing?
I'll be playing too, before the film.
Before the film, so you'll get a chance to hear Ben. Any music? I don't want to catch you off guard, but are you playing anywhere?
I actually
up?
Have a busy weekend next week. Friday night, the 18th, I'm playing at Kativo with Afro Yaki Music Collective, opening for a band I think is called The Rivers and the Hills. And next Saturday, the 19th, Thoth Trio will be giving a concert and workshop at the Pittsburgh Drum Exchange in McKee's Rocks at 2 o'clock.
That's a great store. I was thinking they're still in business, right? The Drum Exchange.
No, the Drum Exchange is a new place. It's Drum World that closed down.
Thank you.
and the Drum Exchange got the Drum World stock, so they are a fully stocked new store, and they're McKee's Rocks above Hollywood.
That was actually not bothering me, but I was trying to think, wait a minute, are they there or not? I remember that store really, really well. Well, those are both great opportunities to hear Ben and to see him. Ben's just a great musician. I'm glad you were able to pop in this
morning. It's always a pleasure, Larry.
Anything else you wanted to mention?
Those are the big things I wanted to say.
The big things. Well, thank you. And Ben Opie, look for him May 20th, playing the theremin. Before the day the Earth stood still.